Good morning, Grandville. What a blessing to be in this beautiful weather. But the most important thing, it's in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. My name is Pavel, and I get the privilege to serve here as the senior pastor of Times Square Church Summit Campus. I can't go on but acknowledge also our general overseer, Carter Collin, who is here as well. We're so blessed for each one of you that are here. And at this moment, you may be seated. We are always grateful and we always give thanks to the Lord when we partake from our food on the tables. We come into His presence when we see in front of us food and we thank God for His provision. But this morning, I want to thank you, farmers, because without you, we would go hungry. We want to thank the Lord for providing rain and providing good weather, because without His blessings, all of our labor is in vain. But this morning, we want to say thank you, and we want to say that we love you. And I don't say that lightly. I don't throw these words lightly. We truly love you. Why? Because Jesus Christ has loved us with everlasting love. And now we can love others because we're all made in the image of God. In 1932 and 1933, under the former Soviet Union where I was born, in a country called Ukraine, darkness covered this nation. This period in history is called Holodomor, or as many would know, Ukrainian famine, where at the hands of Joseph Stalin, millions of people died and were killed by starvation. This was man-made starvation that led to lack of grain and lack of bread for people to put food on their table. Picture this. Parents that have small children. Children are crying for food. And there is nothing that people can do to put bread on their table. I remember stories of my father sharing. He was born in 1947. And even though the severity of the famine was for 1 year, 1932 to 1933, but the effects of that carried on for a decade. And with World War II, there was a lot of destruction. My dad would share that there were children, small children, that their bellies were inflated because they did not have enough nutrition and they were lacking food. My dad's parents, they were trying to do their best to feed their family. And this is the time that my dad grew up in. People began to cherish every piece of bread. People began to cherish the food on their table. They were not throwing the bread in the garbage very lightly, but they would cherish it because they were considering that to be something holy, something that God has provided through the farmers, through the people that have worked on their fields. But I'm also reminded of my grandfather, who would share stories with us. When he was in his 20s, there was severe persecution in the former Soviet Union and other nations around the world. And persecution is this, that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are being put in prison. You are being pressured to deny Christ and follow their ideology and follow the things of this world, Marxism ideology. And my grandfather says, there is not a chance. He did not go to a Bible school. He did not even read a whole lot of a Bible because it was illegal to have the Word of God. But as much as he knew, he said, I'm willing to die for my Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that is a faith. And when he was in prison, in labor camps, they were torturing them and hoping that they would die. And he would say that they would come and bring them a cup of water and a piece of bread. That was their meal. Or I should say, that was not their meal. That was a form of torture so they can slowly die. And he would take the piece of bread and he would look through it. And he said that he can see everything through that thin piece of bread. And that's how they were feeding him in prison. But I want to tell you that the faithfulness of the Lord kept him. When freedom came and Soviet Union fell apart, when people were let go from the prisons, they were tortured for their faith in Jesus Christ. My grandfather lived a life to see his fourth generation and more than 300 people, and most of them are walking with the Lord by believing in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hallelujah. But as important as our physical bread is, as important as our meals at the table are, now I want to talk to you about the bread of life. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, not by bread alone man shall live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. My brothers and my sister, my fellow friends and fellow farmers, there is a life after life. Our death does not end our story, but it begins with eternity. And yes, physical bread will give us strength and life here on earth. But this morning, I want to talk about my Savior, who is the spiritual bread of life. That He says, whoever comes to me, I will feed him and he will never go home hungry. That is Jesus, who gave himself on a cross, who died for my sin and for your sin. And he said, whosoever believes in me shall never perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, I will never leave them hungry. And whoever believes in me will never thirst again. Praise be to God. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no two ways to heaven. There is no five ways to heaven. There is no 50 ways to heaven. There is one way to heaven, through the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, I am that way. Whatever where you are today, whatever path you find yourself on, Jesus says, come to me. I will lead you. I will guide you. And you will not only find the way, but you also will find life in me. And I'll point you into the right direction. Praise be to God. And how do we do that? It's by faith. We cannot impress God. We cannot impress God by our goodness or how much good we can do, good works, or how many times we go to church, or how involved we are. We are saved by grace and grace alone. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. And if you want to be just this morning, all what is required of me and you is to live this life by faith, by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Not works, but faith. Now Galatians 6:7 says this, do not be deceived, which means that sometimes people can be deceived. And the Bible is encouraging the people not to be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And as farmers here, we know that if we sow corn, we're expecting corn. If we sow potatoes, we're expecting potatoes. And if we sow sin in our lives, as a result, sin will come out. But this morning, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Numbers 32:23 says this, be sure your sin will find you out. In different words, there is nothing secret in our life that is hidden from our Creator. We can hide things from our neighbors. We can hide things from our family. We can hide things from our parents. We can hide things from our friends. But in the moment where we're alone, when nobody sees us, nobody knows us, what's going on inside of our hearts, Jesus sees us. And He's not there to condemn us, but He's there to remind us. Be sure your sin will find you out. And I am here to give you a way out of that. That you don't have to walk in shame. You don't have to walk in guilt. But when you come to me, I will cover you with my forgiveness and with my grace. Because I died for you on a cross. John 3:16. And so many of us know this scripture. For God so loved the world. But let me put it this way. For God so loved Pavel. For God so loved John. For God so loved Bob. For God so loved, put your name in there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, and you are here this morning, and I pray that you will believe in Him, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our life here is temporary. There is an eternity. And eternity is too long to be separated from God, because sin is separating us from God. But Jesus provided the cross, and He died on the cross, resurrected on the third day. And the Bible says, for our justification, meaning to cleanse us and to call us pure. No longer we're guilty, no longer we're dirty, no longer He sees us as sinners. But for those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He sees us as holy. As holy. When I was about 8 years old, I was in a church hearing the gospel. I was born in a Christian family, but that did not make me a Christian. I have loving parents who were involved in ministry, who were preaching the gospel. That did not buy me a ticket to heaven. I had to make a personal decision in my life to follow Jesus Christ. And I remember in a small village, in a small church that my parents helped build with other of his friends, that when the altar calls were opened and the message of the cross was given, whoever would like to give their life to Jesus Christ by faith, being at 8 years old, I remember me and my sister, we went up and we kneeled down, and that was an act of faith by saying, God, I need you even at 8 years old. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your help. I need your forgiveness, and I need assurance that I am saved. Hallelujah. And today, I'm making the same plea and the same call to you. You might not be 8 years old, you might be 80 years old. Nobody's too young for Jesus, and nobody's too old for Jesus. Jesus loves you with everlasting love. And He's more than willing to extend the hand of salvation. To say and remind us this morning, put your trust in me. Not in works, not in what you can do for me, but accept what I have done for you. That's the beauty of Christianity. It's not what we do for Him, but what He has done for us. Because it's never enough if we try to please Him on our own. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says this, people who conceal or who cover their sins will not prosper. But if they confess, and turn from them, they will receive mercy. I do not know about you this morning, but I want to confess Him as my personal Savior so I can receive mercy. I don't want to conceal sin in my life, because sin will lead to death and separation from God for eternity. But this morning, I choose to confess my sin before Him. And the Bible says when we confess our faults, when we confess our shortcomings, when we confess our sin, He says that I will give you mercy. mercy, the triumphs over judgment. One day we will stand before the Creator, our Lord and Savior, our God. And when we stand there, I want you to join me to hear these words. Come, good and faithful servant, into my kingdom. But there will be people that did not receive him as a personal savior. They will hear these words. I never knew you. This journey is by faith. This journey is accepting him as our personal savior. Don't conceal your sin, but confess your sin, and he will grant mercy. This morning, I'm inviting you to confess your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And as a result, you will receive mercy, and not only mercy, but eternal life. And you might say, that sounds good, but how do I do that? Well, let me walk you. How do you do that? The Bible calls that you must be born again. You must be born again. We have a physical birth when we were born, but the Bible also calls us to have a spiritual birth. It's when we come to Him by faith and receive the finished work on the cross by faith. How do I become born again? It's as easy as A, B, C. And if you do not make this decision during this service, when you go home, when you drive the tractor home, when you drive your car home, whenever when you're going to be going to bed, remember A, B, C. And cry out to the Lord, and He hears you from wherever where you are. That's the beauty of our Lord and Savior. A, admit you're a sinner. The Bible says we all were born in sin and are in need of a Savior. We have a condition that is called sin, and there is not a program in the world that can fix it. It must be taken care of supernaturally, and the only way it can be taken care of is at the cross through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Someone once said, we are not mistakes in need of a correction. We're sinners in need of a Savior. We do not need a second chance. We need a second birth. Admitting that we are sinners and are in need of a Savior can be done this morning. B is believe. God sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for sin. Jesus lived a life we couldn't live. Died the death we should have died. And gave us a reward called heaven. Jesus said, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting or have eternal life. This morning, I beg with you to consider this message and to cry out to the Lord from your heart to say, God, I'm in need of you. And see, confess. Confess Him to be your Lord and Savior. Every decision that you make in life, He becomes your Lord. No longer I become my boss to myself, but Jesus is over me. And this morning, I'm gonna ask you to do something bold. The Bible says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you in the presence of my Father. But if you accept me as your Savior, I will confess you before my Father. My grandfather even was willing to die in his 20s instead of denying Jesus. And this morning, I'm gonna give you a call to action to say, Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life by faith in whatever way I can. Whatever way I can, cry out to you, pray to you. I don't know how to do this, but I do acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. And if this is you, in front of everybody, being bold for Jesus, we want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand to say, I want to confess my Savior to be the Lord of my life. And I want to give my life to Him, to serve Him, and to love Him. If this is you this morning, raise your hand in confidence. Is there anyone? 1, 2, 3, 4. Anyone else? 5. Anyone else? Anyone else? I just want to thank you for your boldness. I just want to thank you for your courage. And if you can help me now, pray this prayer together for their sake so we can support them. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe you are the Son of God. And on that cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt. So now I come before you and I'm asking you to forgive me. And I confess you to be my Lord and Savior. And I declare, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. Now let's put our hands together and give God a shout of praise for what He is doing here in Grandville. For those that raise their hands, I just want to say welcome. The Bible says when one sinner comes to Jesus Christ, the whole heaven rejoices. And one more time, we're going to join the whole heaven and say praise the Lord for what He has done this morning in Grandville. And we have here ushers, people with lanyards. We would love to get to know you. We would love to talk to you. So please don't be in a haste to leave. I would love to meet you and congratulate you. One more time, let's put our hands together, give God a shout of praise for a wonderful day, and leave this service with shouts of joy, rejoicing, singing, praising Him because He is worthy. Hallelujah.